Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in. GQ Palace Radio. Entertainment. With your host, Rich Money. Storm. Keep it locked.
This is Elias, and you're listening to GQ Palace Radio. Follow me, yeah. Follow me. Peace.
Yeah, this is Grand Agent, GrandAgent.net, Real Grand Agent, Twitter and IG. I'm in the GQ Palace, so as far as I can tell, it's all good. Let's do it.
This is Isaiah, and on Friday night, I listen to GQ Palace Radio.
Yo, what's good? This is Casanova Rudd from the group Super Lover CN Casanova Rudd. You know, the golden era of hip-hop, baby. You are now tuned in to GQ Palace Radio. Yeah.
All y'all wanna pile on me, make it hard for me to breathe. Throw sand in my eyes and make it hard for me to see. Out of breath, can't see, feel hard to defeat. The history that I made, impossible to repeat. Spread rumors, point fingers, throw stones, judge me. Hate me, love me, hug me, curse me. Whatever, cause y'all not gonna pay it, don't be me. I'm clever, enough to know that the
rich money,
don't. I'm a demon that faces me. I've been through hell, lived in the belly of the beast. I confess my sins, but still didn't find people. Like MJ and 5, I will 16.
Rich money,
hood first, cause that's where I'm from. That's why the hood is always first to help me overcome. When I'm down, some of y'all cats act so strange. When I'm up, same cats wonder why I act so strange.
Don't
help me change, please. You bitches are so lame. Something ain't y'all fault and y'all so quick to blame. That's why I got number one on the back of my range. Y'all cats is full playing. I'm pregnant by
rich,
the game.
Rich,
balls and chains, but I'm a child of God, so my destiny's ordained. Undisputed is a title I claim. Not to shoot the world up with this biblical cocaine. I'm about to bring the pain. Left jab, right hook, shedding down your brain. I could be surrounded by lions in the midst of the jungle, and still I'm a rumble, young man, rumble.
You are now tuned in. GQ Palace ready. With your host, Rich Money. Storm. Keep it locked.
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back to another episode of GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment. I am your host, Rich Money. Storm is taking care of some things tonight, so I don't know if she's going to be filling in because, you know, like I told y'all last week, a good friend of ours passed away of cancer, Jesse Blakemore, so she's taking care of some things as well with the family during the funeral arrangements. The funeral is tomorrow. So we're going to dedicate a song to him at the end of the show, as well as a cast member from Kitty City that we've been pushing out on the trailer, which I'm the executive producer of. You know, her grandmother passed away, so we definitely going to put something out for her as well. You know, as a matter of fact, I want to give this moment of silence to them. All right, y'all. We back with another big show going on for y'all tonight. Now, we have one of the biggest actors in the building tonight. I see the lines is lit up. So, you know, we've been pushing this, you know, all day yesterday, all day today. This man is doing big things. He's an actor. He's a model. He played in some big-time movies, you know, flicks. He played in Apollo Creed, a couple of other movies. I'm going to let him fill y'all in on that. You understand? But before we even get started, we're going to go to a song, because what I need you to do, Terry, if you on, I need you to press that one button for me, because I don't know where you at. I believe I see your number, but I don't know if that's you. But if you are on the air, I need you to press that one button for me so we can get to you and make it happen. So before Terry J. I don't know if I'm saying your name right, so don't forgive me if I'm mispronouncing, Terry. You understand? Quarantino Moore. It's on. We're going to go to a quick song, and we'll be right back. Stay right there. Don't move. This is DQ Palace Radio. Love, entertainment, rich money, storm. We're going to get into some Luther real fast.
The bad boy swinging. Oh, yeah.
Diddly 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 didd
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back to GQ Palace Radio. And with me, I have my man, Terry. I'm going to just say Terry Moore right now, just to keep it on the Dons. Oh, Terry, are you there?
I'm here, man. I'm here. Look, I ain't got no problem with you. I'm saying my name. I'm not anal about it.
Good looking, man. Now, tell him, how do you pronounce
Well, you got two ways you can pronounce that. I said the American way, and I said the Spanish way. The Spanish way is Quintero, and the American way is Quintero. So, you know, whatever comes off your tongue, easy. It's whatever, you know.
I just want to tell you, it's definitely an honor having you on. I definitely appreciate you taking the time out. I know you're doing a lot of things, and we're definitely going to get into that, but it's definitely an honor having you on. I definitely appreciate you.
Man, I'm glad to be on. It's an honor that you had me on.
Now, wow, you got so much going on. What actually made you get into, because I know you're doing the acting, and you're doing the modeling as well, but let's get into the acting first. What actually made you get into the acting?
I would have to say kind of started young. And, you know, like, you ever heard how most singers and performers, music artists say, well, I started in the church. Well, that was kind of the thing for me. Well, you know, my grandma started me doing the church plays. I used to hate going to the church plays, but she would make me every Easter Sunday. I had to play Jesus or Moses or whatever. Or whatever church play they had. And I used to hate the plays. And I was young and not understanding you know, what was going on, but she would always put me in her place, and since then, you know, I think that's what planted the seed. So, you know, like I said, it skyrocketed from there, you know, it's so many ups and down moments I had with this, but that was the beginning moment. I said, well, you know, maybe I can do something with it, you know?
Okay. I definitely feel you on that one. Now, I see. I never had told anybody this. This is the first time I'm actually mentioning this. But believe it or not, I used to watch the soaps, ladies and gentlemen. All My Children, Days of Our Lives, and Young and Restless. I never told you that, you know. I don't know if they know about it. But they actually called you some. Did you appear in the Young and Restless? They called you about that soap opera? What do you think about that?
Well, how that happened was, you know, they had an audition. They emailed me and they was coming to Philadelphia, having an audition, and you know, try out. So, you know, I said, why not take a shot? So I went up there to the Shithouse Casino, and I did my piece. And the news reporter, she saw me do my piece, my first, you know, audition, and she's like, well, I like how you did that. Would you mind going over some lines with me? And me not thinking, I'm saying, sure, why not, you know. And he says, okay, well, we can do something for the camera. I'm just thinking we just fooling around. He comes back and says, oh, yeah, we're going to be live in a few moments. I'm like, what? So it kind of caught me off guard. But, you know, I did what I did. And then you know, they called me. And they was like, well, we're looking at you. We have a spot, but we just really don't know, you know, where are we going to slide you at. But they called me and was like, yeah, you know, you basically, you know, you killed all this. So, and I'm just still waiting on that, see how that rolls.
Oh, okay.
But other than that, you know, it was fun. I mean, I was nervous, but it was fun.
not the tea, man. Nervous. Yeah.
It was nervous because she caught me off guard, because when she said you're going live, I thought we were just staying live just to be staying live.
Oh, she wanted you to go on live right then and there.
Yeah, it was like, I'm like, what? And you know, when someone say it don't really register when they say you're going live. I'm like, huh? And I'm like, I thought we were just going over the lines, and they was like, nah, you know, we going live. I was like, So, you know, but you know, it was what it was, and everybody was like, "You did a great job on the bus." So,
that's how you get on TV. You just stand there still, like, "Oh man, okay," you know.
Exactly. Now,
you also was CBS Eyewitness News on Channel 3 in Philadelphia. Tell us about that.
Oh, wow. That was just it. When they did that, that's, you know, that's when they was recording live with that. And everybody knew that I was live before I knew I was live. You know what I mean? Everybody was calling me and said, oh, you on TV, you on TV. And I'm like, wow. And, you know, I guess if you said that was the real moment, everybody, I mean, all across was like, yo, I saw you on TV. And I was like, that was just crazy. And all this, you know. And I said, well, man, I can use it as my reel. I can, you know, a lot of people just started to, they follow that more so than most of the things I have done, which is weird. But, you know, whatever draws them in, you know.
Exactly, exactly. So I know Ms. Hoffman invited you about a dialogue, H form fashion, something like that. Now, you in the progress of doing a dialogue, or was that done already?
The dialogue was the audition piece that I did, and she saw me do. And when she saw me do the audition piece, that's when she pulled me to the side and was like, I like how you did that. We can go over some lines. Yeah, I don't know if she just came up with her own lines or whatever she pulled it from, but basically, she didn't deviate from the audition script that I had, but she was just throwing anything in there, because I'm like, wait a minute, how do I counteract this? And I'm thinking that in my mind, how do I counteract this? But she, the way she did it, she gave me a leeway where I could, everything came in balance, you know what I mean? So, because she was throwing things like, you were looking at the maid and the bellboy. I'm like, well, wait a minute. And I was like, it was weird. I was like, is my character bisexual or what? I don't know what my character is, but the thing was, I ran with it, and, you know, I'm like, because according to me, to the script, I was just a husband, obviously, that had messed up and trying to get back in his wife's life and trying to remarry, you know, just, you know, basically rekindle things. And I didn't know I was out there like that. And so he was looking at the maid, the bellboy, and all of that. I was like, well, wait a minute. But I was like, the bellboy? Really? But, you know, I went with it, and, you know, so, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I want to get into your model, but first I want to ask you, because, you know, we had Julian Patano on from Greenlee, and I asked him the same question. Now, I'm not going to say what his answer was, just like I wouldn't say what your answer is if we get somebody else on. So my question to you is, let's say if somebody wanted you to play a role as, all right, like Empire, where the brother, he got to play the bisexual, you know, the gay role of kissing another man. Would you have it in that qualification to do that if the money's right?
It's funny you ask that, because
I say, you know,
a lot,
he said the same. He seemed to laugh at the same thing. He was like, "Oh, whoa! I didn't expect that one."
Yeah. It's funny you said it, because a lot of guys that I know that are up and coming artists, whatever, actors, whatever, they ask the same thing. And again, I want to put this out there, because I have nothing against the homosexual community. I would say this. I don't think, and I'm not saying I couldn't, but I don't think I could play the part, because I'm not mentally there. See, to play a part, you got to be mentally there. And not to say that I couldn't, because I probably could play the hell out of the part, but that's not the part that, you know, I would hunt for, or that's the, you know.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's a kind of a touchy situation, but, and I don't know how to, you know, that part you got to tap into it deeply, and you have to go beyond the realm of what you normally would do and act or whatever. And, you know, and the guys that are straight or gay, whoever, that do it, I take my hat off to them. But to answer the question in its entirety, I just have to say right now, I don't think I could.
He said something similar to that. You know, the money's big later on down the line. There ain't nothing stopping. I was like, hey.
The money make the atmosphere change quick. But you know.
Now, let's get into the movie Apollo Creed. How did you wind up on there?
Well, they was emailing me, and I was seeing things on Facebook, emailing, and it just said Creed. And when it just said Creed, I'm not even thinking, I'm not putting two and two together that it was Apollo Creed. So I kept brushing it off and brushing it off. So finally, they was like, yo, finally I answered it. And it was like, yo, well, come on down. We're filming down in Philadelphia. I came on down, and, you know, they gave me a piece, a little piece, and we had fun on the set, even though it was for 14 hours. It was cold, but, you know, we had fun on the set. It was a beautiful thing. And I got to see and meet Fly, you know, that was cool. You know, and everybody that I meet on set that are, you know, A-listers, they usually give you some good words of advice, you know.
And, like, what was that feeling like? Because, you know, when it really did hit you, like, wow, I'm on a big screen now. Like, okay, so.
Well, you.
These drawers.
Well, you know,
tight.
I never. Right. But, you know, the thing is, I never been starstruck. That's one thing I never been. And I've seen people, you know, jump out the windows for the celebrities. And I'm not saying that it's wrong. I just never been a starstruck person. My thing is, if I want to get next to a star, it's because of the advice that they can pass down, not because you are who you are. Because believe it or not, a lot of stars don't want to be treated like stars, if that makes sense. You know, sometimes they want to be treated like a regular person. So I don't want to be in your face asking for pictures and autographs. If I'm on set, my thing is, if I'm an up-and-coming actor or model, whatever the case may be, do you have a direction that you can point me to, or a blueprint that you had already set up that I could possibly follow? And but for the most part, it was like, wow, I'm here with Sly, and it was cool and everything. But I had to, like, I gotta stay focused, you know, because, you know, Rocky, he played Rocky. That's like the man of Philadelphia. You know what I mean? You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that was. I mean, it was exciting, but at the same time, it was serious business at the same time.
Wow. And, you know, I also see something that your grandmother involved you in some service of, you know, like church programs when you were younger and plays. Was that what you really wanted to do at that time, or do you feel like?
You say, say that again.
Like, I see back then, your grandmother had also, you know, taking you back, you know, back, you know, from Apollo Creed, but taking you back to the beginning right now. I see your grandma had involved you in some acting and plays and all that. Was that something you were prepared for at that time?
No, I mean, I wasn't really prepared for it. You know, and I grew up down south. Well, Maryland, you know, some call it Mid-Atlantic, some call it south, but, you know. But I grew up where a lot of the elders had an old school down south upbringing. It was homie. You're going to go to church, whether you like it or not. You're going to go to church. You're going to play in this play, whether you like it or not. And I can remember, it'd be summertime, playing kickball. And their little van would come around in my apartment complex, a little church van. And I was like, Grandma, I don't want to go. You're going to go today, boy. And we would go, and we would rehearse Easter plays, Christmas plays. And it was never something I was into. But I'm sitting back thinking that maybe my grandma saw something in me that I didn't see. And once I got in middle school and high school, a lot of the, you know, my peers, whatever, like, well, why don't you come in the drama club and all this? I'm like, I don't want nothing to do with acting, because when I was growing up, it kind of was forced to me. And I'm like, yo, I don't want nothing to do with it. But then as I got into high school, and this is what really kind of popped it off, I had people from all walks of life, you black, white, teachers, whatever, straight, gay, bi, whatever, say, you're a nice looking dude, you should try modeling or whatever. So I said, you know what, why not? And one thing kind of led to another. And that's when I started getting into the modeling, started getting into the acting. And I got frustrated with it, put it down for a while, I picked it back up. Met some people that, you know, said they could take you to the promised land for quickie. And, you know, not saying there was anything crooked going on, but it was just the fact that,
I know exactly,
you know, you might meet Exactly. And it wasn't, I'm not saying they were crooks, it was just the fact that they were backtracking to the steps I had already laid down. You know what I mean? There was no need for me to keep going back there. So, you know, I've had several managers like, yo, I can take you to the promised land of milk and honey. And when you get there, homie, it's the same thing it was before I met you 3 years ago. So, and then for a while, I was my own, you know, I was my own independent, you know, manager, whatever you want to call that. So, I started doing extra work. That's how I jumped into this acting thing. And I took a little acting class. I took like a 5-month, 6-month course. And I got on a couple of sets with a couple of, you know, well-known stars. And I seen that they made mistakes as well on set. You know, they was making mistakes. They had the script right in front of them sometimes. And I'm like, wow. You know, because in your mind, if you don't know, you're thinking like, wow, they just come out the woodwork and knowing this. And if you're not there to see it, you're like, wow, they do make mistakes. So once I got comfortable with making mistakes and just allow myself to just be who I am, everything came natural. And once you get over that hump of fear, you can do anything. So I did the extra work just because I wanted to see how the foundation was. And once I peaked the foundation, yeah, it was ball game from that.
I see the ball game because I see he was in the movie Rewind. You played with Mechanic, the director, David Morse, who was nominated for an Emmy Award. You played with, you deal with the WWE professional wrestler, Gene. Tell us about this. You got a lot going on.
Oh, man.
Let's start with Rewind.
Let me tell you back how I got into Rewind. Rewind was, I was doing one of the guys that I was on a stage play for. Now, mind you, I was an extra. Never had no lines, really. Just a guy doing plays. I mean, doing extra work. And one of the guys that saw my picture, one of the directors, he said, you know what? You look like you can do more than just sit there and be cute. So he gave me a line. He was like, you know, we got a couple of weeks for showtime. Can you remember this in this amount of time? I came in, registered up. He was like, you ready? I'm like, yeah. He said, you sure you're ready? He said, because I've been in the business for 9 years and been working at this project for 9 months to get remember the line. Trust me. He said, you only been here 15 minutes. Trust me. I went in there. I remember their lines, my lines. I wowed them. So,
wow.
And it's more than just remembering the lines, it's bringing the character to life. He said, you know what? Ain't no more auditions. You got the part. Now, I say this to say this because stage play, and I'm telling people because stage play is different from acting, and how to get into that later on. But how that happened was the director that brought me on his play was so intrigued by my acting, he put me on to this movie, Rewind. And, you know, I fit the profile that she was looking for. And I fit everything else that was, you know, that went along with it. So Rewind was just basically about an abusive boyfriend. You know how you got, ladies, I'm pretty sure y'all out there, if y'all listening, you got that guy, that boyfriend, you tell him that it's over. But in his mind, it's not over with. And he keep popping up, calling up, whatever. Yeah, I was that guy. I was that crazy guy. And how that was... And how that went down was I was upset because she didn't invite me to her birthday party, but she invited everybody up. And she was like, well, I didn't invite you because it's over with, and last time we were together, you beat me. I got bruises on my back and so forth. So eventually, you know, she came over to my house. We talked. We got in an argument. This time, I beat her and went too far and killed her. The neighbors called the cops. The cops came over. Now, here's the twist. The cop that came to answer the call was her cousin. I didn't know that. He didn't know I was her boyfriend. It was great. Yeah. I didn't know I was her boyfriend. He didn't know I was her boyfriend, and I didn't know that was her cousin. So, you know, I let him search the house or whatever. And when he pretty much found the body, and me and him got into it. But I beat him up so bad that he don't remember what happened. Now, the twist of the movie is, yeah, he hit me in the head with the bat. I passed out. He's passed out. The thing is, no one knows, did I go to jail? Did I die? Or did I just happen to move to a whole other country or what? That's the twist.
Uh-huh.
The thing is, he's trying to remember that. He's trying to rewind and remember where is this guy at. Maybe if I can remember certain details, I could catch this guy. But being that I beat him so bad, he can't remember.
Wow.
Wow. So that's how that went down.
So, wow. What it was like working with David Morris, you know, Emmy Award winner.
David Morris,
you know,
oh, wow.
Nominated,
man,
for Emmy Award.
David Morris was, he was, yo, man, he was cool. I mean, yo, he was, just beyond the fact of giving advice to all those that was on the up and coming actors, he was just cool. I mean, he's like, yo, I pay food, beer, whatever. He was a cool dude. He was just like, you know, and that day I was working on it, it was hot. I mean, it was hot that day. And the guy was still saying, you still want to go? You still want to go? He was like, look, the hell with it. I'm going. And he was just a smooth dude, genuine. Actually, he lived close by from when I was told. He lived close by. And,
okay.
Like I said, just his advice, period, was just overall, you know, that's what I like to get from the guys that have made it, the advice. And he didn't have no shame of telling you what was and what wasn't. And that's what I love about him.
Mm-hmm.
Outside the star factor, that's what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? Because I don't look for the star in the person, I look for the humane in the person. And if you can point me in the right direction to even get to where you at, because you know how some people, even at your regular 9-to-5 job, you get some people, oh, I ain't going to tell you this, you might take my job.
Exactly.
That's how I be sometimes. So, but he wasn't like that. He was like, yo, this is what it is. And he'd tell you straight up, I've been doing this for so many years. I've been 20, 20, 30 years. I still get nervous. So you think he's a power guy this well seasoned, he's still getting up. It's almost like saying the artist saying to themselves, you ask the artist, any artist, can you top your last album? It's like saying, can you top your last movie?
Exactly.
It's kind of in the same way. Can you top your last album? Can you top your last movie?
Go ahead. I'm waiting for you to finish, because when you finish, I want you to go on to the dog show with the WWE wrestler, because
speaking of wrestling, we got Ronda Truth coming on
in 2 weeks. So I definitely want to hear about this one.
Gene Snitsky was a fool, and what I mean by a fool, I mean in a good way. He came in. I didn't know it was him at first because he had a hat on. I kept saying, this guy looks familiar. And we were somewhere in, I can't remember, we were somewhere in Pennsylvania. It was like way back in, off the boondock somewhere. And he came in. I was like, who is this big guy? He looks really familiar. But he had a hat on. So finally, somebody was like, yo, that's Gene Snitsky. I was like, yeah, right, stop playing. That's not you. So when he took his hat off, I was like, yo, can I get a picture? You know, he was like, I don't mind. I don't care, whatever. He took a picture, and his advice was the same thing as any other star. Do what you do, but, you know, just, you never give up. That's just basically what he was. And he gave me a little bit of insight on how the rest of the business works. I'm not going to put that out there, but me and him talked for hours before we had to go on set, even when I got done filming, me and him talked for hours. And like I say, it was fun. It was really fun working with him. And me and him Facebook friends great today. I was supposed to be in a movie that he had did 2 years ago, but I couldn't make it. But wonderful guy. Gene Snicks is a wonderful dude. Wonderful dude. And he stays right here in PA as well. So, you know, and I tell him, any other project you got, you want to put me on, just let me know. I try my best to be there. But outside of that, like I said, he's a wonderful dude, man. Can't say nothing bad about him.
Now, let me ask you. what advice would you tell these up-and-coming actors? You know, we got a lot of people listening that to get them to where you are at. What advice would you give
them?
The advice I would give, first of all, my first thing is know who you're working with. That goes back to what I was saying earlier. You might work with some people that are crooks. You might work with some people that are just don't know what the hell they're doing, period. And a lot of times, just because people don't know what they're doing, they'll make them crooks. But you need somebody on your team that can better represent you for you and for your brand. As far as the craft, I would say always try to, even if, because with me sometimes you have a down point where you don't get no work, or you might get a little bit of work. I always say try to do anything, I don't say anything, but try to do something that sharpens your craft, rather than going to an acting class. Even big time celebrity A-listers do it. Whether you got to walk around and get in the chairs and talk to yourself around the house off an old script that you did a year ago. Just always have your tools sharpened and ready. You may not always use them, but always have your tools sharpened and ready. You know what I mean? And also go for roles that be fitting for you. Don't make nobody, because here's what people don't understand is that when you get a role or offer a role, no one's going to twist your arm and say, well, you have to do this. Here's how I get off the road. They'll say, hey, well, you're going to play John Smith. And John Smith is a womanizer, jerk, whatever the case may be. And you yourself, at that point, when they give you, because a lot of times they're going to give you the character and the character's persona before they give you the smell. You, at that moment, have to decide, can I say this? Do I want this? Do I want to really remember as this? That's what you have to wrestle with before you sign off and say, yeah, sure, give me the script. So it goes back to what you said earlier about the when you play a gay guy. If you just say, yeah, I'll do it, and the guy said, well, I want you to play a gay guy, or I want you to dress up as a woman, or a woman as a man, you have to be sure you're comfortable with that part that you're playing. If you're not a mean person, regardless of what it is, if you're not a mean person, then once you play a mean person, if you're not comfortable, if you don't think you're good enough to pull it over, then, you know, you need to evaluate some things before you're applying to that. And a lot of times auditions they have where, you know, I need this person, a black African male, 6'5", 6'4", whatever, mean, rough looking, whatever. If you don't fit the criteria of that, even the physical attribute, a lot of times there's no need for you to apply for that casting call. And a lot of times your manager won't apply you for that casting. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But again, yeah. it goes back to what's befitting for you. And that's with anything in life. You're not going to do what's not fitting for you. If you're not comfortable with it, you don't have to do it.
Definitely for you on that one. Now, let's talk about the modeling.
Right.
You know, let's get into the modeling, Phil, because I don't know if you're in a relationship, but, you know, I know you already got the females come at you for the acting. But with the modeling, I know you got the about 1,000 of them coming at you. You know, how did you actually get into modeling still?
Well, actually, I got into modeling before I got into well, let me take that back. As my, like I told you, I got into the acting when I was younger and I put it down. But as I got older, when I got back into the entertainment, modeling was the thing. So I started doing modeling. I had one friend, you know, she had an independent event going on. She said, well, you know, you have that look where you have that mysterious look where no one knows what you are. You could be black, Spanish, whatever. You have that look. So why don't you start modeling? And I'm like, modeling, really? Me model. So I was like, you know what? You know, why not take a stab at it? And when I took a stab at it, I started, the feedback that I got was, it was a local feedback, but it was the fact that even your local town acknowledged you. It was like, whoa, I didn't expect that. So
okay.
I got into the modeling, and, you know, I started doing little shows, little points, you know, ads or whatever. I said, wow, you know. And then somebody said, well, you know, modeling and acting in this day and age go hand in hand. Back in the day, you know, and it may have been a period of time where when you was a model, you just did that. When you was an actor, you just did that. Now in this day and age, it complements each other. And you, and believe it or not, you'll find out that a lot of actors start out as models. So when I got into it, I was like, you know what? I like this. And, you know, but I started drifting towards acting more so because acting to me, I love it more than the modeling, because acting to me it's fun because you get to be a different person. You know what I mean? Modeling, you get to be a different person, but acting to me, it gives you more free range to be whoever you want to be with inside that character they gave you, that they had given you. Let me try that, you know. So, you know, one thing led to another, and like I said, I love modeling as well because that's what kind of ended, brought me to the dance, so to speak. Acting is the past.
So, let me ask you, you know, like I said, I don't know if you're in a relationship or anything, but how do you balance everything out? Because that's a lot, you know, the movies and, you know, the eyewitness news, the soap operas, you know, the modeling, you know, modeling as they travel and everything. How do you balance everything out?
Well, the thing is, never try to overbook yourself. And when I started, and a lot of people that I know, if you ever talk to them, they'll tell you how they started, was you want to jump on everything. I want to jump on it. And there's nothing wrong with submitting your information to casting calls. But if they if you got like 20 people calling, if you got 20 people calling you and say, yo, I need you on the week of February 1st all the way down, you got to figure out which one you really want to be a part of. Because obviously you can't do all 20 in 1 week. You can't even do all 20 in 1 month. Unless each of them wants you a day, each day of the month. And even then, it might be impossible. So you have to figure out what you want, what's fitting for you, and how you do it. And to answer your question about how do I deal with it, I just, even with the Facebook comments I get, it'd be crazy, but I was always told that if you get the comments you get now, the inboxes and all that, wait till you get to the higher level. It's going to be even crazier. I just laugh, brush it off. Sometimes I might entertain it. At the end of the day, like I say, it's all about balance. It's you got to have a balance to these things. Because if you don't have a balance in it, you'll drive yourself crazy. And if you overbook yourself, you'll drive yourself crazy. That's the worst thing you can do is overbook yourself. Have I done it? Yes, I have, and I learned that through trial and error. Don't never overbook yourself. So that's why I want somebody to say, yo. Somebody say, yo, I want you for blase, blase. Like, look, all right, hold on. Because back in the day when I first started, I was just like, yeah. Now I said, hold on, let me check my schedule and get back to you in a minute. You know, because back then I was just like, yeah, I take it. And for a while, it was working for me because, you know, at that time, somebody may want me for the month of May, and then somebody may want me for the month of August of next year. Time, it was working for me. But what I wasn't realizing, the more work that you put out, the more people that acknowledge you, the more popular you get, the more work you get, and the closer these dates get. I'm like, wow, okay. So now when I get offered a project, I say, well, you know what? Let me check the schedule before I commit to anything. And I hate being late, and I hate committing to things that I can't make. So before I commit to it, my thing is you want me for this project, give me a day or two to get back to you. Sometimes I don't even take that long. I get back to you and let me see what I got going on for this week or this day. And again, like I said, it's all about the balance.
Now, all right, I'm going to have to put you on the spot right here. Now, if you had to choose between model and acting, only one, which one would it be and why?
Acting. And I just pretty much answered that because acting, to me, gives you the free range to be, not saying that modeling don't, but to me, acting is more, you have more room to move in my opinion. I love acting because, you know, modeling, and again, I don't say nothing for models because I know what it's all work to model. It really is. You do have to rehearse, especially if you got runway stage. I just had a runway show recently back in March. The thing is about acting is you rehearse, you come in, it's a lot that goes into acting, but the acting is just, I don't know, it just, to me, it just seems more freer and more just, more, I'm just more passionate about it. I don't know 100% why. I love being different characters, especially bad guys. I don't know what it is. They want me to be a bad guy, to be a bad guy. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is. I love it. I get up, I thrive for it. And, you know, and not to say that I turn down modeling projects, because if you want me to model for you, I do that. But just acting, because I think acting, in my opinion, why I like it, in my opinion, because it shows more of my ability. Because it's easy to stand and to be sexy. For those that aren't sexy, it's easy to stand and to be that sexy.
Mm-hmm.
But to be sexy and speak four lines and bring that character to life, you're like, whoa, this person has more than just physical sexy. This dude can actually articulate lines and bring this character to life. I had a stage play that where I was playing a guy. I was a player. My friend was off in the war. I was sleeping with my friend was off in Iraq, and I was sleeping with his wife while he was in Iraq. When he came back, I was still sleeping with his wife. Now the play was so deep, and I played that character so well. You know, at the end of the plays, you greet the fans, you take pictures with them, sign autographs, whatever.
Yeah.
It's crazy how this went down. When I got off stage to greet, some of them greeted me, some of them didn't. But the ones that didn't, I'm going to tell you what was said. I don't like him. And I'm like, what?
How do you feel
because
about that? Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you how I felt about it. Because my man was like, the guy that directed, he said, yo, you played the character so well, they really think that's you. Now, I'm going to ask you this. You ever had your mom or your grandma, you ever watched Right Time with your mom or your grandma, and they might have seen Blair Underwood or Denzel Washington play, I don't know, a womanizer, a woman beater, or a child molester, and he that played it so well. It was like, I don't like it. And that, And yeah, that's how it was. And I'm thinking to myself, and the dude was like, it wasn't your performance that they didn't like. It was the fact that that character was so surreal, they can't deal with it. And I was like, wow. I didn't think about it like that. He said, that means you ain't brought that character to life. And it was crazy. I don't like him. I don't like him. I was like, wow. And how I just laughed because it was funny because they figured that if you brought this character to life so well, that means you must be this character. And that goes to what I tell anybody.
I never thought about that.
But see, here's the thing about acting. And this is how I do it. If you have a movie, let's say you had a movie. And you say, well, I won't tell you, I want you to be in this movie. I say, well, look, player. This is what you want me to be the actor, or be or become the actor. Because here's the thing, you can be the actor and just be good enough to get the ball over the fence. But when you own the actor, that whole thing, that means you embody the spirit and everything of the actor. That means you. I'm pretty sure you have heard stories where guys would say, hey, or celebrities would say, hey, I went home and it's hard for me to break character. That's because they embedded that character in their daily, as they say, aura, their spirit, whatever you want to call it. So when you bring a character to life that's so surreal, people think that's you. And times when I play roles like a womanizer or a bad guy, whatever the case may be, it's easy for me to tap to that because either I've done that or I know somebody that has done it and or I've been around it. You've been around it in some shape, form, or fashion. So it's easy for you to tap in that character. I'm pretty sure, and all guys, I'm you know what, you may hate me for this, but I'm pretty sure most guys probably have cheated on their girlfriend. Rather it was now, back in high school, middle school, whatever. But you can relate to that. And some, yeah. If you didn't do it yourself, your homeboy did it. Your uncle did it. Your brother did it. Your cousin did it. You can relate to that on some form or platform. So if they ask you to tap into that, let me go, let me scan my brain waves real quick and tap into that. So that's how I do it.
That's some deep. You gotta
find that realm.
That's real deep right there, chief.
Yeah. You gotta find that realm. You gotta find that realm.
I hope y'all listen to this, really taking heed to this right now.
It is deep. Because for me, it's easy to remember the script. But getting into, because here's the thing, a lot of people don't realize this too. When you get on set, or especially a stage play, and we've been rehearsing this for months or whatever, you don't have time. First of all, you're not going to have the paper with you. Second of all, you don't got time to play with your character. I told you what your character was. Here's the line. This is what you do. You give me the lines. My thing is, okay, fine. If you tell me my character was a womanizer, I'm going to put his personality on the background. My first priority for me is to remember those lines. And then I can juggle his personality. So if I want to come out as a womanizer, every time I come out on stage grabbing my crotch, then that's what I do. If that's befitting for the character. You know what I'm saying? So you have time to play with the character before you go out there. Sometimes you don't, but for the most part, you have time to play with the character. For the projects I've been on, you have time to play with the character. So, you know, and sometimes you might have a director, and I tell everybody this, if you have a director that wants you to pronounce word for word, that some directors are anal about their writing. Look, you got to pronounce it word for word.
Mm-hmm.
And I always
I ask
the director, I was like, do you want me to be the character or own the character? Because here's the thing. Sometimes I like to add my own words into it, but I would never deviate from the script. I add my own words to it, but never deviate from the script. So if you're making a gangster movie and you say, what's up, brothers or guys, I might pull the director to the side or the writer and say, look, I don't think what's up, brothers would be fitting for me, my character, and for this scene.
Mm-hmm.
Can we say what's up, I don't know, you know, the N word or whatever. Can we say that? If they say, yeah, that works better.
But would that offend a director? Would that
It depends on who the director is. It depends. Because a lot of times, and believe it or not, a lot of directors would say, I learn from actors as well as actors learn from me. Because especially, and I'm not going to be racist here, but let's say you have a guy that's brought up in the suburbs of California, a white guy, and he's making a gangster movie in New Orleans or Philadelphia or the Bronx. He really don't know how it go down in the ghetto. Except for what he see or may have heard. But he's a phenomenal director. Don't take nothing from him. But if he say, well, I want this mean-looking black guy and come into the hood and say, what's up, brother? He's not going to say that. That's not what we say.
No.
That's not what we say, brother. So we're going to use the N-word to put emphasis on what we mean. Is it okay for me to say that, to get this part, this scene over and make it believable? So what he'll say, so well, sure, let's do a quick run-through about it. And if we do a quick run-through or two about it, see how it goes. If you like it, he'll say, yeah, stay with it. And for me, again, I'm not saying this works for everybody. But for me, I've had brought that to the regular attention. Can I do this? Can I do that? And they do a quick run-through, maybe two or three. And they say, you know what? I love it. Keep it.
Now, Let me ask because, you, generally speaking. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, you know, just generally speaking, let me just ask you. You tell a film director that, right? And they tell you, well, what? I don't want you to say it like that. I want you to say how I told you to say it. How would you approach a situation like that?
Well, it's like, at the end of the day, it's like he's your boss. You know, it's like prime example. I mean, let's say, I don't care what you, I'm going to say, let's prime example, if you work, I don't know, let's say you work Wendy's or whatever, and you the guy that cleans the bathroom, and he tell you, well, look, no, better yet, if you the guy that only does chicken burgers, their job is only to cook those burgers, right? That's your job. And he comes to tell you, well, look, your job is to clean bathroom stalls. You say, well, wait a minute. When I got hired, my job was only to flip burgers. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you can approach it to him like that and say, hey, well, you know, even though he's your boss, even though you're working for yourself, but he's still your boss because this is his project. And you can say, well, look, this is not what the job description. Again, it goes back to feeling comfortable to what you want to say, how you want to do certain. So prime example, so if he wants you to say, I don't know, if he wants you to say GD and you're not comfortable with it, let's say you're a real religious person and you're not comfortable with saying GD. And we just cut off God and put the D in the word and Sam in the word, and he asked you why. And you say, because of religious purposes, whatever. Most directors that I've met are cool, calm. They say, well, you know what? Let's try it your way first. And if it doesn't float, if it doesn't go over the fence the way I want it to, then you got to do it my way. And then once you say, they tell you, do it my way, you have to find the inner core in you. And now I don't want to do it this way because it don't sound right. It don't fit right. Don't feel right. I have to now attack it to another realm to pull this rabbit out the hat to make this believable. You ever said that? I don't know. Maybe you haven't, but me as an actor, I sat there and I would watch even A-list actors. I watch and I say, they didn't put their all into this movie.
Mm-hmm. Exactly
enough to make it believable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what it's like. They didn't put their all into this movie.
I can name a couple
now,
of them.
Exactly. Now, but to the average person that watches entertainment, they don't really know the art. That was good. Okay, yeah, that could have been dead. Yeah, that was good, but it could have been better. But me as a person that loves the art, that study it, I know, especially the actors and actresses that I know, he or she could have did that better. But then again, at the end of the day, it's all on what the director wants to do. So you only got free reign on so much of what the director wants. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And even though you may not feel like that part is go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, even though you may not feel like that part, that particular part of the word don't sound right or thing don't sound right, you yourself just got to do all you can do to make it believable because that's what they want. So, you know, that's that.
Wow. You got somebody I want to speak to. I have no idea who this is. Well, hello, Cora. Sure. Are you there?
Oh, yes, indeed. Good evening. Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening there, Brother Moore. This is Dave Brown, and I was listening to the show, brother, and I just have to say I'm definitely feeling you as far as how you're responding, as far as what you're saying. I'm definitely feeling the spirit. And while I was listening to you, some questions came across my mind. And one of them is with yourself, knowing how the industry is as far as the acting. First thing is, are there any boundaries that you're not willing to cross, knowing how the industry is as far as some things that they'll ask you to do, some things that your personal convictions aren't going to allow you to do? Are there any boundaries? That's the first thing. The second one is, are there any rules that you have ever refused because of that conviction, because of your, you know, your raising or just, you know, your ethics? And the last thing is, do you find that you get offered roles that are somewhat stereotypical because of who you are and probably because of maybe previous roles that you have taken, and now that they're going to continue to offer those roles because those are the parts to play, be it villain, hero, or whatever it may be? And that's my question, and I'll just definitely like to hear you.
All right, well, first of all, I'll probably ask you those questions again. But the first question is, as far as what he had said about the roles that are, that I'm, you know, I'm not willing to take. Like Rich had asked me earlier about the homosexual roles. That's not something I'm comfortable with because that's not really my thing. But again, I don't knock whoever takes them. I don't knock whatever they, you know, whoever does whatever they do. I'm not here to judge. I just know what's my comfort level. And a lot of it has to do with what, how you were raised. I have kids that watch TV, so that's the last thing I need them to see, me on the TV doing that. Sometimes even with a heterosexual scene, I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. I most likely will, but the thing is that you have to be careful on the rules you say, because it's always going to be out there. That's like they say, whatever you post on the internet, it's always going to be out there. So sometimes I'm cautious on the role I take. Now, as far as the role, sometimes you get typecasted. I know a lot of people just say, well, why do the black and Latinos always get typecasted as a gangster, the mob boss, or whatever? I mean, to some degree, it is a stereotypical thing. But in all reality, that's what you see, because that's what we are subject to see. You turn on the news, and I hate to say this, but if you turn on the news, sometimes you can judge the crime of action by the ethnic background. So sometimes, a prime example, if you're talking about a person that's going to kill themselves in a bonfire, you're not going to hire a black person to do that. You might hire a Middle Eastern or whatever. Not saying that's true. Not saying that you know, all people of that region, but how the world perceives it, that's who you're going to hire. You know what I mean? So when you hire that person to play that role, you usually, a lot of time, it's based off what the media has put out there. So when the media has put that out there, you that's the role you get. Now, as far as the bad guy, I tend to like the bad guy sometimes because I love the bad guy, because I can adapt to the bad guy. I can adapt to that because I'm used to that. That's my thing. So, what was the second question, though?
Well, actually, in a sense, you kind of answered them all in retrospect. The first thing was any boundary. The second one was roles that you ever rejected, and the last one was the stereotypical role. And you kind of summed it up and answered.
Yeah, I try to be careful in what I say, because I don't want to say nobody, but I'm just going off what the media says. I don't think this, but if you ever go on the news, you'll usually hear if they say it was a drug related. Let's say they say a couple of people got shot by a drive-by by drugs or drug related issues. 9 times out of 10, they're probably black or Latino. If you say, well, this person kidnapped the kids and they did this and they ate somebody or whatever, you might say they're Caucasian. Usually the media puts that out there. So a lot of times the media, the project is based off what the media perceives out there. Like, I'll give you another example. A lot of people think, oh, Iraq is horrible and it's nothing but bombing, but it's not. I have a brother that served over there, did 7 tours, and he said Iraq has some of the beautiful spaces over there. But the news don't show that.
Well,
so if you have Yeah. So if you never been, if you never been nowhere, no farther than where you at, and you keep pumping in what you see, then you affect that.
Exactly.
And that's how the media rolls. That's how it rolls. So far as the role, and, me, you know, sometimes it may feel stereotypical, but I play it, and you know, because they don't, because I can, as long as I can sleep at night with the role, I'm good. I put a lot of that.
And it's paying the bill. At the end of the day, you know, that's right. That's the reason you're doing it, you know, because it's paying the bill. But listen, you said, you know, you have children, and there's a certain way that you want to be perceived by them. And not kind of let them down, and the same at the same time of something you may have done that's going to be resonating throughout the rest of their life, you know.
Yeah.
And I can feel you on that.
Exactly, and you have, and especially that people, you have people that's on your brand that's behind you. Whether you have your manager, your PR, whatever it takes, you also have to accept roles. You're not, when you get into this business, you're not only in it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take a role, you have to be cautious how you pivot. It's not to say that you're scared or you're a punk, whatever. You just got to be careful. Because if you had your, like a prime example, I'll give you this, another example. Everybody talk about Donald Trump. Everybody said Donald Trump this, Donald Trump that. But here's the thing, and I know about a little bit about politics. Donald Trump didn't go to nobody. When he ran for president, usually a lot of people had investors. He didn't have to have no investors. He had his own money. So he could say and do whatever he wanted to do. Whether it's right or wrong, he can do and say whatever he wanted to do. Because let's say if you was running for president and you say, well, look, Kerry, I need $2 million to start this campaign, blah, blah, blah. When me and a couple other people on the board are going to say, well, this is what you're going to say, this is how you're going to say it, and this is when you're going to say it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got your own money, you can say and do whatever you want because that's your own money. If it flops, it flops. If it go over top, it does. And that's how that rolls.
And indeed, you know, and you're not, just from the conversation, being that you're not part of the unconscious community, but yet you're not part of the CON, cons community, but the actual conscious, as in inner overstanding, where do you see yourself, say, 10 years from now? Are you planning to continue to work for an entrepreneur, or do you see yourself as people work for you?
10 years from now, I see myself as an entrepreneur and have people working for me, but sometimes, you know, plans get detoured and whatever else. Sometimes life have a different route for you. And all I can say, I just hope and pray that, you know, that's the goal that I'm reaching for is the goal that I will end up with. And I accept all comers, regardless whatever they are or whoever. Because at the end of the day, as everybody that lives on your only planet got to become as one. That's the thing, and that's one of my main goals, is to get everybody under one roof as one, because at the end of the day, we still brothers and sisters, and I'm not just talking about this, I'm talking about even DNA-wise, you still brothers and sisters, okay? Once you get over the fact that this person is black, fat, skinny, tall, white, bisexual, gay, whatever the case may be. Once you get over those humps and put that past the main goal, and put that past and get to the main goal, then we all can operate as one body. You get what I'm saying? Even though they may not be your twist, but again, you got to overlook what's going on. You know what I mean? You got to overlook the small picture to get to the big picture. As I was told, look in the picture, not at the picture.
Yes. Well, listen, man, I definitely appreciate you, man. I'm glad I actually was able to get through to talk to you. And you're right. I mean, it's my thing is that it's beyond, like you said, look in and not at. because at the end of the day, my thing is at this moment is financial, you know, and that's financial independence. So that being coming from the heart, it's from the heart, Mr. Moore, is that I want to see great. I know once you succeed, others succeed because of you. And if you, so your perspective and your facts, you know, you're about what's going on in the world, and it's real with you. It's reality, not fiction, you know. And
well,
and that
well, you
means
know,
that, yeah, best. Yeah.
Well, you know, as my mom used to tell me, God wasn't like last, death past. I'm still young. I'm 33, so I still got, hopefully I got some time is on my side, so I do all I can while I'm walking this earth, you know.
Yeah. you know what else I wanted to ask you? Go ahead, Dave. You still saying something? Go ahead.
No, I say I appreciate it, man. Yeah, bro. I mean, very powerful. Speaker, man, very, very powerful speaker, Rich, and definitely very influential. And yeah, definitely. Man,
well,
you know,
thank you, brother. I try to do things that make sense. You know, as they say, 2 + 2 = 4, right? Let's do things that make sense, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Appreciate it, man. You have a wonderful day. I'm still listening to the show.
Yes. All right. Thanks for calling, Dave. Now, Terry, because I didn't even know we went over the time, but we still can make it. I wanted to ask you, I see you got a film project with producer Mr. Terry Bell. Tell us about that. Is that in the progress, or is it something that you did back then?
Oh, you're learning about me again? I didn't hear you.
I see you got a project with producer Mr. Timothy Bell. Tell us about that. That was something that...
Me and him... You know, I started on to him. He's a wonderful dude. He represents a lot of great people. Me and him, you know, we're working on a couple of projects that, he got me in the mix. Just put it like that. He got me in the mix for a couple of projects that's coming down the pike. So, you know, just all I can say is stay tuned. You know, you never know why I pop up. I'm all over. You know, I don't want to use the term, but you know. I'm all over like dog poop.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. So let me ask you, what's the next step for you?
You mean outside of acting and modeling?
Yeah, you know, like what is the next step? Whether it's acting, modeling?
You know, once I get established, I did take a course in a culinary, you know, in a food service. I wanted to own my own restaurant at some point. Went into a restaurant slash hotel, you know, and I wanted to do that. And, you know, just to start off local. But one of my main goals is to also as well is try to get some of these troubled kids off the street and, you know, just try to get them into something positive. Open up a warehouse where, you know, where these kids can come in. Like, I like to study martial arts, where these kids can come in and they want to study martial arts, so study whatever, you know, anything to get their mind off the situation they're in. Because you never know what nobody's going through, what nobody's thinking. And my thing is this, if I can reach to one child, they may be thinking about, hey, going into school and shooting the school up tomorrow morning. If I can reach to him or her, just say, you know, because I've been there before. I've been in trouble. I know what it's like. And if I can reach to them and say, hey, you know, it's nothing on this other side of a jail or death, and you might want to rethink that, I'll be all right. You know what I mean? But I'm not that old, but I see the times has changed. I see a lot of kids that's 18, 17 years old. They really have no guidance. And they're not, and I hate to say this, and if you young kids are listening, I would say, you know, a lot of the younger generation are soft. They're not built for jail. They're not built for the streets. Basically, you're not built for nothing but Google. And I'm not saying it to degrade you. I'm just saying it. You. It's like putting gold in the ocean of sharks. These young kids are not really ready for it. And if I could help somebody or somebody's child, because I have a young, my youngest brother's 17, me and 15 years apart. So if I can help somebody in that age bracket to say, hey, I'd rather do this than that, hey, you know, then kudos, you know what I mean? And that's my first thing is to help somebody that can't help themselves and just point them in the right direction. And even with a homeless person, point them in the right direction. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know, because a lot of homeless people, and I say this, a lot of homeless people are not dumb. A lot of them have degrees, believe it or not. It just sometimes life hits you with that punch that you can't shake. And, you know, they need a chance as well. And that's why I said I wanted to start my own restaurant /hotel and club because a lot of them people can get a job with them. How I wanted to do it was invest in apartments where you get a job, you work, you pay your apartment, and then, you know what I mean, just have a little program for the homeless or anybody that needs the help. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because a lot of people, and I hate to say this, and again, I just point out the real and everything. You didn't see them, infomercials or commercials where they have the child, they say save a child's life. Oh, you got this thing, 75 cents, whatever. You really a lot of times don't know who that's going to. You don't. And not to say you shouldn't invest your time in it, but you don't know who that's going to. And I like to set up a foundation where you know exactly where your money and your time is going to. And it's a lot of children in the USS, in the USA right now that need help. Mentally, emotionally, or whatever, physically, whatever. They need help. Sometimes I got three kids and one on the way. And my oldest, she's 13. So sometimes all it takes is you to pull a child to the side and say, hey, you know, you need not to be doing that because this is what it is. And you know, and I even got homies back home where I'm from. My mama called me. But so-and-so went back to jail. I'm like, you 30 years old still going back to jail? Maybe you should quit doing what you're doing.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, you know, I got to also look at it like maybe they didn't have the chance to do something different other than what they were doing. So that once I get on the mainstream and the platform where I can make moves like that, kids that's trouble, homeless people, or just guys that's in and out of jail, you need something to do. You need something because how I was taught, a man is supposed to provide for his family at least for 10 generations. Now, I'm not saying that's something that has to be, but at the end of the day, you need something stable for yourself.
Exactly.
Because when you leave this world, you don't want nobody to just remember you as the junkie, the crackhead, or whatever the case may be. You want something somewhat positive someone can say about you, that you turned your life around. So, that's my goal.
I definitely agree with you. Definitely agree with you. Well, I want to tell you, Terry, it was definitely an honor having you on. Now, would you like to give out your information so people can contact you, your Facebook, your Twitter, your Instagram?
Coming up,
any future films, everything. Let them know all that.
I got a few projects on the tell you, I can't send the names. I just tell people, one of my films that I got coming, it is a martial arts film, so you'll definitely get to see the hands in that one. My Facebook, you can... Terry J. Quintero Moore, you know, you can find me on that. Same thing as my Instagram, actor Terry J. Quintero Moore. Terry J. Quintero Moore 7 on Twitter. Like I said, just, you know, I want to say this. I know a lot of people think that, you know, you have made it, you don't talk to the average person. No. If you inbox me, especially with respect, and you come clean and just want to talk, I talk to anybody. As long as they ain't on the foolishness, I talk to anybody. So if you feel like you need a positive word, I got you. So you can, I'm not hard to reach. You ain't got to condescend through 10 people to get me. I'm straight and direct. You know what I mean? So you got my Facebook, my IG, my Twitter. You definitely, you know, you can definitely hit me up. I'm definitely real. I definitely, if I got time, I answer you back. You know, and if I don't, forgive me because I'm usually busy. Cause, you know, between the project and being a father, so you know, I'm definitely busy. But I'll make time to whatever question you gotta ask that somebody can get the chance to ask on here. They can ask me on the gram, whatever. Hit me up.
Wow. So, yeah. You know what, Terry? It's definitely an honor. I'll definitely get back to you on that project I was telling you about. Let you know what's going on with it.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually send you the trailer, too, so you can see it. You know, we definitely going to do that. But, you know.
Well, you already know when me and you first talked. When me and you first talked, I told you. You know, I pick up the vibe from people when I first meet them. If it's good, it's good. If it's, and I want to tell people this, whoever's listening, whoever, and this may be because I'm from the streets, I know a little bit, but a person that you're dealing with tells on themselves within the first 5 to 10 minutes of a conversation. If you know what to look for.
You're absolutely right.
If you know what to look for. So, and you know, again, if you want to get further in detail with that, you have my information. Again, Terry J. Cotella Moore on Facebook. Access Terry J. Cotella Moore on Instagram. Terry J. Cotella Moore 7 on Twitter. Just hit me up. And again, no question. Even if the question is stupid, I'm going to answer. If I feel like it's stupid, I'm still going to answer and give you that respect. You know, you don't even give a question. You know, I know this question. Because I'm not that type of person. Like, yeah, really? But even if the question is stupid, I still answer it, you know. Because I used to work in customer service, and trust me, the question I used to get was crazy. So I know about stupid questions. So, again, I'm there, and just hit me up. And as far as your project, tell your people I'm ready whenever they're ready. You know, once we discuss whatever, and you know, I'm down with it. I just love working. That's all I can say, man.
I hear you, see. And it's, yeah, I'm definitely gonna keep in touch. Even if you say, you know, check up on you, hey, what's going on, see? But I'm definitely gonna get back to you about that project.
You got the mask. You got my mask. So definitely hit me up.
All right, for sure.
All right.
Now, wait. How the name go again?
You want the Spanish or the English? The Spanish or the English, people?
You know, I'm half Puerto Rican, but I'd rather go with the English.
We're going to go with the English. The English is Quintero. Just think of
Quintero.
Quintero,
that's it.
But it's Quintero, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Quintero.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you, it's definitely an honor having you on, and we definitely
look forward to doing
something in the future, and it's definitely going to happen. Mark my words. I'm definitely a man of my word.
Because I'm Kobe Bryant, I'm always ready. All right. God bless y'all. Be safe out here.
All right.
You know.
All right.
As they say, don't take no wooden knuckles and don't be no sucker. All right.
All right, Dawes and Divas, Terry J. Terry J. Quintero Moore, Dawes and Divas. Oh, man. You know what, T? I don't know what's going on. It's like they just caught me.
You might need a drink.
You know, I might, because you know what? Now I'm gonna keep saying it in my head until I actually get it right.
It's Friday. You know, so relax yourself. You know, I trust me. I ain't about the name. A lot of people mess up my kids' name, their first name. So you know what? I'm not anal about it. You know, it's life. You know, it's the American way. Sometimes you, it's how you was brought up. Bro, trust me.
Exactly.
I'm going to tell you what, as long as you are writing the check, don't mess it up. I'm good. So.
I hear you.
I'm good. As long as you,
I hear you. Well, it was definitely an honor having you on. Very more Dodgers than Divas. I don't even want to try. All right, y'all. That's it for tonight's show. I want to thank y'all all for tuning in. It was definitely an honor having them on. Don't forget June 4th, Nonstop Media event at the Black Thorn in Queens. Judges, Cuban Link, Shampoo from Def Jam Record, and DJ Will from 105.1. Special guest judges, Chrissy Monroe from Love and Hip Hop. Don't forget also, May 16th from 7 to 9, the Brand Ambassador Award Lunch featuring Ron the Truth Killing, professional WWE wrestler who will also be on with us on the 19th of May. You also have Women of Love and Faith. They doing another event, Book Bags, Saturday, July 22nd, 2017, this year from 2 to 6 p.m. Suggested minimum donation $25. You also have Freedom Writers Publishing looking for authors. We will also have an author on the 2nd of June. Feel free to get in touch with them as well. You could go to Freedom Writers Publishing. That's Freedom Writers with a Z at gmail.com. Also, want to give a special shout out and condolences to a friend we had lost on April 28th, Jesse Blakemore. You know, may he rest in peace. You also want to give condolences, shout out to one of the Kitty City Bay members for Kitty City, Eve. Her grandmother passed today. You know, may she rest in peace. Don't forget, Kitty City is definitely coming out serious. Should be in the middle of September, around the end of September. And I also want to send this song out to Eve, who grandmother passed, and my man, Jesse Blakemore. Rest in peace. That's it for tonight. See y'all.
Heavy-hearted, but I can't explain, 'cause I'm